Hello again, everyone, wherever you may be, and welcome to the 168th edition of KHOI Community Radio's Capital Week, your window on the world of Iowa politics, where we explore and analyze who's been making news in and around the state capitol, what that news is, and what it all means. We are glad you are with us. I'm Dennis Hart, joined as always by my longtime partner in politics, Laura Bellin of the blog site Bleeding Heartland. Welcome, Laura.
Good to be here, Dennis.
We have plenty to discuss on this program, including the return of a topic most of us thought we were done with, the AEAs, Area Education Agencies. That's right, they're back. But we're leading with a topic no one thought we were done with, abortion. There are new developments on that, starting with what the Administrative Rules Committee did or did not do on this Monday. Take it from there, Laura.
There's a joint legislative committee with members of the House and Senate called the Administrative Rules Review Committee. And anytime a state agency is adopting or revising its administrative rules on any topic, it has to go through this committee where legislators have the option to delay or reject or ask for changes to the rules. So in this case, the Iowa Board of Medicine came before the committee with the final version of administrative rules that would implement the near total abortion ban that Republican lawmakers approved last July. That is currently not in effect. It's blocked by court order. But the court order did say that administrative rulemaking could proceed. And the concept behind that was that if the Iowa Supreme Court eventually allows that law to go into effect, the doctors who would be subject to discipline under the law, they need to know how it's going to be enforced. So these rules went before the Administrative Rules Review Committee today. The committee took no action. And so the rules will be filed and on April 24th. However, they will not be enforced unless and until the Iowa Supreme Court rules on that near total abortion ban passed last year.
So here's the kicker. The state Supreme Court is set to hear oral arguments in that case this coming Thursday.
Yes, and I plan to be there to listen to them. And the biggest question for me is, will all seven justices participate? Because in last year's case, if you remember, last year the Supreme Court considered the governor's request to reinstate the 2018 version of that abortion ban, and the court deadlocked 3-3 because Justice Dana Oxley did not participate. So if she is present for the oral arguments this Thursday, that would be a pretty good indication that there will be some kind of a ruling, some majority opinion in this case coming most likely, I would say, in June.
So let's be clear that abortion is still legal in Iowa up to 20 weeks. The six-week ban is not in force and has been barred from being enforced until the Supreme Court makes a decision on this. So that's where we are at this moment.
That's right. And what the Supreme Court is considering this week is technically not the law on the merits. It's considering whether to keep the injunction in place or perhaps lift the injunction while litigation proceeds. Now, the state is going to ask the justices to go ahead and uphold the law right now, but there are any number of ways the court could approach this. So it's very possible that they could leave the injunction in place for now and then decide later to uphold the law, or there are just a lot of permutations. But technically, this is not a case where they're hearing the law on the merits yet.
All right, and you can bet we're going to report on this next Monday night live here on Capital Week. All right, let's get back to something. Just when we thought we were done with the letters AEA, Laura, after, oh gosh, it took up so much oxygen the first part of the legislative session here, all of the legislative session, we thought we were done with it. Guess what? We are not done with it because there's been a new development, and it was a development that was predicted.
Yes, the Iowa House Republicans were not happy after learning that the final version of the bill, which they approved in March, you remember they had that day where a lengthy amendment was published. It was debated. They cut off debate at 6:30 p.m. just in time for the NCAA basketball games. And then it came out a few days later that some provisions of that amendment were different from what Iowa House Republicans thought they had approved. And the Iowa Senate went ahead and passed that. Governor Reynolds has signed it into law. And now, according to State Representative Brent Segrist, who is a Republican from Council Bluffs and a former executive director of the AEA system, said House Republicans are going to be looking for a way to pass some other bill that fixes, in their mind, what they see as an oversight that gives school districts the ability to spend money that is supposed to be for media and education services, the bill that they approved, that the governor signed, allows those school districts to spend that money on any general fund need. So they could spend it on supplies, on teacher salaries, keeping class sizes small, whatever they want to spend it on. And the House Republicans had the idea that they were voting to allow school districts to use that money to buy the same kind of media and education services, but they could contract with other providers if they didn't want to sign a contract with their local AEA.
So House Republicans are hoping to pass this before, obviously, the end of the session in a couple of weeks, several weeks. But is there any indication the Senate would take it up? Is this possible to get this thing through?
I have not seen any indication that the Senate is interested. And as I mentioned, that Representative Segrist described this as an oversight. And what's not clear to me is whether this really was an oversight or whether when this amendment was negotiated between the governor's staff and the House Republicans, maybe this was deliberately put in there. And it's possible that some of the key negotiators from the House Republican side just didn't notice this. I should mention that State Representative Sharon Steckman, who is the ranking Democrat on the Education Committee, she actually flagged this during the Iowa House debate on that day. She said, it's right here. Look at page 30, line 32. And it says they can spend this media services money on any general fund need. And if I were a superintendent, I'd give my staff a raise. I wouldn't spend this with the AEA. So it's hard. It's a little bit hard to understand how the House Republicans weren't clear on what they were voting for. But in any case, they're looking for another vehicle, another bill that they think that the Senate would want to pass and that the governor would want to sign. One tricky thing, a lot of times when there's a mistake in a bill earlier in the session, sometimes they put language in a budget bill to fix that mistake. But one wrinkle here is that Governor Reynolds has item veto power over any appropriations bill. So most normal policy bills she can either sign or veto, but an appropriations bill, she can veto line by line if she wants to. So that's a problem for the House Republicans. If they want to put language like this in a budget bill, that's fine, but there's no guarantee the governor would sign it.
All right. There was plenty of action in the state Senate and state House last week. Let's zoom through this on this Monday night. The big one in the state Senate, on a 34-15 vote, Republicans in favor, Democrats opposed, the Senate approved a constitutional amendment that would require Iowa to have a flat income tax rate if the state imposes an income tax at all.
So this is the beginning of a long process. Remember, Iowa is one of the states that is most difficult to amend the Constitution. This would have to be approved by both the Iowa House and Senate. And then after the next election, it would have to be approved again by both the Iowa House and Senate before it would go on a statewide ballot for voter approval. But you said something important, and I want to highlight this because it came out during the Iowa Senate debate, a flat income tax rate. And State Senator Cindy Winkler, who is a Democrat from Davenport, she pointed out that this amendment does not actually talk about a flat income tax. It talks about a flat income tax rate, which means that for higher income earners, they would still be able to take all of their deductions that they usually take, and then their taxable income would be taxed at this flat rate. And so she said it's actually not equitable. It's not like a flat tax where the income tax return could fit on a postcard, right? That everybody would be taxed at, let's say, 2% or 3% of their income. Certain taxpayers would be able to take deductions first, and then they would pay that flat rate. But of course, that's very complicated to explain. If this gets passed by the legislature twice and goes on a ballot, I mean, good luck making that case with the voters.
Okay, and as we talked last week or the week before, another proposed constitutional amendment that would require a two-thirds vote of the legislature to raise taxes in the future has been passed by the House, but has not been taken up yet by the Senate. Does it seem as if Republicans are really interested in cutting or getting rid of taxes? Well, they are.
I think so. And I don't know why the Senate hasn't taken this up yet, but most of the days recently, the Senate hasn't had a lot of floor debate. I do expect them to take up that other state constitutional amendment that would require, as you mentioned, instead of majority vote, which is now how all bills are approved in the Iowa House and Senate, it would say that anytime you want to raise income taxes, you would have to have a two-thirds vote for that. Interestingly, that amendment did not have that same provision for raising the sales tax. And that's something that has Democrats very concerned, that if there's a downturn in the economy or a revenue shortfall for some other reason, that it would be easier for the legislature to turn around and raise the sales tax in the future than the income tax.
And yet another bill in the state Senate, and we are talking about the state Senate. Last week, lawmakers there revived an effort to give the governor more power in the process of selecting Iowa district court judges.
So this is something that we see periodically where policy language gets put into appropriations bills. The Iowa Senate and House committees are starting to consider these budget bills, which again are usually the last things to happen before they go home for the year. And so State Senator Julian Garrett, this is something he's been trying to do for a long time, give the governor more power over those district judicial nominating commissions that send her nominees for judgeships. And this bill or this proposal, which he put into the budget this year, the Senate has approved it before and the House hasn't acted on it. This would remove judges from those panels and give the governor one extra appointment. This afternoon, I had a chance, along with other reporters, to ask some questions to State Representative Brian Losee, who is Senator Garrett's counterpart. He's the head of the Judicial Appropriations Subcommittee on the House side. And he said this language is an absolute non-starter with House Republicans. But of course, Senate Republicans want this in their judicial budget. So who knows how it's going to come out? That will certainly be something that is intensely negotiated in the coming days.
And what would our show be if we didn't talk about hemp? Yes, hemp. The state Senate approved a bill that heightens restrictions on consumable hemp products, and it's on its way to Governor Reynolds for her signature.
Yes, this one, there was more bipartisan agreement on this in the House than there was in the Senate. All the Democrats voted against it except for one, Eric Giddens, and most of the Republicans voted for it. There were four Republicans who voted against it. This is designed to, the impetus for this was the drinks that contain THC. A popular brand is called Climbing Kites. And the idea was that after the federal government legalized the use of certain and the sale of certain hemp products, that people didn't anticipate that this would happen. And I think that if this bill had only had an age limit, like that you can only buy these beverages at age 21 and up, then that would have been uncontroversial. But this also included some really tight restrictions on the total amount, not just per serving, but the total amount of THC per package. And as it came out during the Iowa House and Senate debate, that many people are concerned that retailers who try to sell CBD products, that they're not going to be able to do business in Iowa because a lot of distributors are simply not going to want to sell their products. An analogy that somebody gave during the debate was like, this would be like saying that you could buy a bottle of aspirin, but it could only have five tablets in it because of the limit on the overall THC in a package and not just in a serving. But in any case, as you say, this has been approved by both chambers. It is going to Governor Reynolds, and I do expect her to sign it.
And yet another new bill, passed last week by the Senate, creates a new crime. It's called looting. I think we've heard of looting.
Yes, and this seems to be a trend in the legislature. I mean, we had something earlier this year that talked about organized retail theft. This is looting. I mean, somebody raised during the debate what's going on? We're not clear whether this is happening in Iowa or not and why this is a priority. But there have been a number of bills this year that enhanced penalties or created new crimes, and this is one of them.
And the Senate passed a bill that would permit a pesticide label to have sufficient warnings so long as it complies with federal regulations. In other words, they passed a bill shielding pesticide makers.
So this one is really controversial, and four Republicans actually voted against this bill in the Senate. Similar to last year's debate over medical malpractice damage award limits and the bill that shielded trucking companies' commercial trucks from liability for causing accidents, for lawsuits following accidents. So this would say that pesticide companies could not be sued under a certain provision that's called the duty to warn. And the Republicans who advocated for this bill were saying, well, people could still sue the company under other provisions of law. But the legal experts, the Iowa Association for Justice, and several of the legislators said the problem is there really isn't any other avenue to bring these lawsuits. We're not talking about a design defect in the pesticide. We're not talking about a manufacturing defect where it wasn't somehow the Roundup, there was something wrong with the Roundup. The issue is that the pesticide companies, that this product may be causing certain diseases, possibly some forms of cancer, possibly Parkinson's disease. And the people who are most exposed to these chemicals would not have any recourse in Iowa if this bill passes the House and if the governor signs it. And it would not prevent these lawsuits from proceeding all over the rest of the country. So the upshot would be that Iowans would not be able to participate in any type of class action lawsuit. But this is one of the most controversial bills, and I know that there are influential Republicans in the Iowa House on both sides of this issue.
Senate also passed a couple of bills related to community colleges.
Yeah, so this one, this is less controversial. So related to the Iowa Student Aid Commission that in reporting requirements on this, kind of a technical thing. Another one is more of a transparency bill that would say that the community colleges have to release more details about the outcomes for students so that high school students who are thinking about their options can look and see if they want to go to a community college or one of the state universities. What are the outcomes? What percentage of people graduate? And what kind of placement do they have in jobs after that?
And the Senate also unanimously passed a bill letting landlords ask tenants for medical proof of a need for the tenant to have a service animal.
So, yeah, this one, when it bounced back to the Senate, this was unanimous. Earlier in the year, the Senate passed a version of this that was a little more controversial. Many Democrats voted against it, saying that they felt that it would tilt the scale too much toward landlords and against people with disabilities. But when this went through the House, there was an amendment that has been perceived as a little bit more balanced. And so this way, the people who have a legitimate need for a service animal, their rights would be protected. And so when it bounced back to the Senate, it did pass unanimously. And again, I do expect the governor to sign this bill.
And the Senate also passed a bill to help Boy Scout abuse victims.
So this one is, they're on a time frame. Actually, I think this so far it's only been through the Senate Appropriations Committee, but they are on track. They need to pass it this month to meet a statute of limitations for a particular lawsuit. And State Senator Janet Peterson, who's a Democrat, she's been calling for a broader reform to lift the statute of limitations generally for these types of civil lawsuits related to survivors of sexual abuse. Iowa has a very strict rule that in most cases, people only have about 4 years to file these lawsuits. And of course, many people don't even come forward to say that they were abused until decades later. And so this bill would be limited to a specific lawsuit that's related to the Boy Scouts of America.
And it was the Senate Appropriations Committee that passed it. All right, let's quickly go through a couple of votes the Senate took last week on confirmations or reconfirmations. One of them involved a woman by the name of Mackenzie Snow. She was confirmed as director of the State Department of Education. This one was controversial.
Yes, and we usually see this every year that most of the confirmations go through unanimously, and that's been the case this year. Dozens of the governor's nominees have been confirmed unanimously already, but there were a few votes that were very controversial, and this was probably the most one. So Mackenzie Snow was brought in last June by Governor Reynolds. She came from Virginia. She does The main arguments that the Democrats who opposed her confirmation brought up is that she has a degree in political science. She doesn't have any classroom experience. She doesn't have a teaching license. She hasn't worked as a school administrator or a superintendent. She hasn't worked at anything like an AEA and, in fact, wouldn't be qualified for those other positions. And so they said this person should not be in charge of a state department. She's not going to have the confidence and trust of educators across Iowa. And a state Senator Herman Kornbach compared, he read off the qualifications of the last several leaders of the Department of Education who had been confirmed, who were most of them had doctorates in the field or had served us in roles such as superintendents. So, but in any case, they had all 34 Republicans were present, and all of them needed to be present because this was a straight party line vote to confirm Mackenzie Snow. And the Republican who was managing her confirmation, State Senator Jeff Taylor, said, "Look, she's not applying to be a teacher or a principal or a superintendent. She's applying for this position, and she has administrative experience, and she's worked in other state departments of education, and she has ample experience for the job." And that's what 34 Republicans agreed with.
And the next two were less controversial. The Senate voted 48-1 to reconfirm Kelly Garcia as director of the Department of Health and Human Services, and then 40-9 to reconfirm Kayla Lyon as director of the State Department of Natural Resources.
Yes, that was one. Again, Kayla Lyon's confirmation was a little bit more controversial. Most of the agency directors who have come before the Senate this year have been unanimously confirmed. There was a huge batch of them last week. Kelly Garcia, State Senator Herman Kornbach of Ames, cast the vote against her. He did not speak during the debate. I know that in the past, from talking with him, he has had concerns about some of what used to be the Iowa Department of Public Health, which is now part of the Department of Health and Human Services, the smoking cessation efforts. He has not been happy with how those have gone, and that is one of the boards and commissions that might be eliminated. But in any case, Kayla Lyon, the debate on her, it wasn't so much a direct criticism of her work. It was just that the DNR doesn't have the resources. She hasn't asked for the resources that would really enable the DNR to do its job. And it was more, I would say it was almost like a vote of no confidence in the Department of Natural Resources rather than anything specific that Kayla Lyon had done.
We have so much more to get through and we have so little time, but I have to tell you, it's 20 after the hour. If you're listening to us live and you're in tune with KHOI Radio's Capital Week, your front row seat for everything political going on in Iowa. There's a lot of it. I'm Dennis Hart with Laura Bellin. We're now in our fourth year of being here in this time slot to talk about politics with an Iowa flavor. And now, this program is also available as a podcast. That's right. Just search for KHOI's Capital Week on your favorite platform, be it Apple, Google, Amazon Music, Spotify. And there we are. Again, it's KHOI's Capital Week. Laura and I, just as famous as disc jockeys now. All right, let's get into what the, well, we are. Action in the State House. We've got to get through this. This was a big one. The House lawmakers approved a bill to overhaul the state's mental health and disability service systems.
Yes, this is something that the governor had requested that would change the way behavioral health and mental health services are provided. There's a little bit of apprehension about how this is all going to go because there are so many moving pieces, but it did pass on an overwhelming bipartisan vote of 88-6.
And the Senate gets it next. Also, the House passed a bill extending Medicaid for new moms, but ending coverage for others.
Yes, so this was very frustrating for the Democrats, and you could see the Republicans were united behind this bill, but the Democratic caucus was divided, and many Democrats spoke during this debate. What they wanted to see was extending postpartum Medicaid coverage from 60 days to 12 months without changing the eligibility. But in fact, the governor's proposal, which is what the Senate has already approved, and now the House has also approved it, would reduce the eligibility by quite a bit. So the Legislative Services Agency estimated that every month, approximately 1,300 women and 400 infants who currently qualify for Medicaid would not qualify under this proposal. However, the ones who would continue to receive Medicaid, they would get a longer postpartum coverage up to 12 months rather than the 60 days. So in any case, this was a controversial one, but it was something the governor asked for, and so she'll be happy to sign it.
And the House also passed a bill letting the Department of Health and Human Services oversee the MOMS program.
Yes, and this is upsetting for Democrats as well, because the centers, the people who will be getting the funds under this maternal support, these are basically mostly their anti-abortion groups. And some people were upset that the Department of Health and Human Services basically went through the process of selecting the recipients who are going to get this money even before the legislature had passed the enabling bill.
This one wasn't controversial on a 95-0 vote. That's right, 95-0. The House approved a bill expanding insurance and disability for firefighters.
And there are also a few provisions related to police, but this is something, this was basically like the Iowa House strikes back, because the Iowa House had approved this. They've been working on it for years, something that would expand cancer coverage for firefighters. And the Senate did not act on it before the funnel deadline, that second funnel. There was not even a subcommittee held. And a state representative, Bobby Kaufman, this is something he said, this is the fifth time he's trying to pass this and he's determined to get it through. So we'll see whether they can get this one past the Senate.
The House on a 92-3 vote approved a bill aimed at improving student literacy rates for Iowa students.
So this was also part of the governor's original request, but this bill was changed somewhat from what the governor asked the legislature to pass, and that's why it passed on that 92-3 vote. Certain things in it that talk about methods that teachers have to use for reading and making sure that parents are notified if kids aren't reading at grade level, those are things that a lot of teachers and schools are already doing. One of the things that was removed from the bill would have required, it would have been pretty strict about third graders not reading at grade level being held back to repeat third grade, and the educators weren't happy about that. So this one goes on to the Senate, and we'll see if the Senate tries to amend it to be more like the governor's original proposal or whether they go along with what the House did.
And the House passed on a 60-34 vote a bill that would prohibit imitation meat products, yep, from being misleadingly labeled as meat. Meat seems to be a big issue there.
Yeah, well, and this one came from the Senate, and there was a last minute amendment to the Senate version, and now there was a last minute amendment to the House version. So the food labeling aspect is not controversial. Democrats are on board with that idea that if your product is meatless, it should say that. It should, if it's, you know, the Beyond Burger or whatever you want to call it, the Impossible Burger, that it should make clear that this is not a product that contains meat. But what was added to this before the House voted on it, and this is why the Democrats Democrats ended up voting against this bill would say that people cannot buy egg substitute products through food assistance programs. And that really has nothing to do with labeling. That is just what you can buy with SNAP or with WIC. And several people mentioned that if you're low income and qualify for this assistance, you might have a child with an egg allergy, or you might have an egg allergy or some reason. And why should the state of Iowa be telling you what you can or can't buy? So this is going back to the Senate. I'm not sure what they're going to do. Certainly something related to food labeling is probably going to pass and get to the governor this year.
All right, the legislative per diems end next Tuesday. Will the legislature wrap up its session next week?
I don't think that they'll be done next week necessarily. They still seem fairly far apart on some of the budget bills, but I do think that they'll be done by the end of April. We'll see.
Okay, we have to get down to a number of things, so let's quickly talk about what the governor did today. She signed a bill on the use of county money by ecclesiastical and sectarian institutions.
Yeah, so this idea, the idea behind this is that county governments could provide money through grants to religious organizations to do things like operate a childcare center or a soup kitchen. And the bill does say that they could not use the money to require people to participate in any kind of religious practice. But some Democrats were concerned. There were 10 Democrats who voted against it because they're concerned that these recipient organizations could try to use the money to promote their own religious views.
The governor also signed into law several other things last week. If we have time, we'll come back to them. We've talked about these before, but we do have other news, including the fact that Joni Ernst and Ashley Hinson went to Ukraine over the weekend.
Yes, they were on a bipartisan delegation, and I thought this was a little bit odd, only in that their offices did not announce that they were going on this trip. There were pictures, multiple pictures. The Ukrainian government and the president, Volodymyr Zelensky, released pictures showing that they were there, part of this delegation. And I'm not sure why. I tried to get a comment from both of their staffs today, didn't get a comment, but they were there as part of a trip to Ukraine. Of course, the Ukrainian authorities are very concerned with Congress passing an aid bill, and that's something that both a Senator Ernst and Representative Hinson have supported in the past, although they haven't been very outspoken about it lately.
A couple of minutes left to get through these next two. You reported that it was the first time in 4 years that the state of Iowa had submitted its annual comprehensive financial report and its single audit for the previous year without months of delays. We've been talking about this for years. You broke the story. They made the deadline.
That's right. So for decades, this was just not even an issue, that the comprehensive financial report on the previous fiscal year always comes out by the end of December. And then the single audit, which is an audit of how state agents used federal funds, that come out by March. Started having problems in 2021. We talked about this on one of the very first shows that we did, Dennis, in February of 2021. The problem was state had switched to Workday for accounting, and it created all these reporting problems. Then there were problems within the Department of Administrative Services. But it was worth noting that the state did get these reports done on time, because one of the Republican state senators, Mike Bussolo, he had mentioned reporting as an argument behind the state auditor's office he's trying to pass, even though the state auditor's office is not the reason why these reports for years in a row had been so late. But in any case, they seem to have worked all out in state government.
1 minute. Iowa officials have agreed to pay fees for a blog site we are familiar with. It's called Bleeding Heartland.
Yeah, so we talked in January about how the Institute for Free Speech filed a federal lawsuit on my behalf, suing the House chief clerk for denying me credentials every year since 2019. And in response, the Iowa House offered to give me credentials and a seat on the press bench. And so we then negotiated a settlement agreement. And last week, the state appeal board approved that settlement agreement. So the upshot is that the Iowa House agreed to make some changes to their credentialing policy. They agreed to seat me on the press bench during the 2024 session. And also they agreed to pay the legal fees for the Institute for Free Speech, which is a national organization based in Washington, and that'll amount to about $49,000 to cover those attorney's fees.
Don't have time to talk about this. I'll just mention it. The governor has signed the Religious Freedom Bill into law. She signed a law repealing gender balance requirements on boards and commissions, and she signed into law a Perry teacher retention bonus bill. That's all we have time for, Laura. It's been a heck of a show.
It really has been a very busy time, and it's not going to get any less busy this week, Dennis.
Oh, that's a threat. I know. You're going to be all over the place, and I'll be following you. My hat's off to you, Laura. I'm actually wearing a hat tonight. That is it, as you can see. We're out of time, but thank goodness you've been listening, and we're happy you are, to Capital Week on KHY Community Radio. A reminder that the views and opinions expressed here did not necessarily reflect the opinions of KHY or its staff. Now, Laura and I We'll indeed be back here next week at this same time, whenever you're listening to us, and we'll be talking about everything interesting, important, or entertaining about politics, Iowa style. And as you listen to us, you'll know that there's a lot of all of it. Until then, thank you so much for the privilege of your time. We appreciate it and we truly value it. Between now and then, let's all go ahead and have a safe, healthy, and happy week.